I feel like it anyways. Me, Alan Smith, where we publish stories today's Press and Journal on Monday, April 1st. So, happy April Fool's Day, and hope you didn't get galled into believing on silly stories. Although I almost fell for that myself. I was looking at a thing on Facebook for a place where we snuckery joke sometimes at Union Terrace Gardens, and any of the coffee shops there had on a thing saying they'd been granted permission to have a big water slide going down the steps at Union Terrace Gardens, and you had to, you know, apply to get into the queue and all like that. But I got to the end of the story and I was offered applying, but then luckily I realised my mistake, so it was quite a good deed. Anyway, front page paper today is a fundraiser in memory of Amy and baby Aidan. So it says more than £2,800 has been raised in memory of a Northeast nursery worker and her baby son, who both died in a heartbreaking childbirth tragedy. The P&J tells on Saturday how Ellen, mum Amy Finney, and little Aidan passed away last month. In an emotional interview, Amy's devastated fiancé Simon Alsop said he felt he was living in a nightmare after the love of his life and their newborn died within hours of each other. Oh, God, a disaster. Amy's colleagues at Lynx Nursery in Balmeady have set up an online fundraiser to support a charity of her family's choosing. As of 5 o'clock last night, the original target of £500 had already been comfortably surpassed. In a statement, nursery staff described Amy as a nurturing practitioner for always had the best interests of all our kids and families in mind. They added, "We are devastated by the tragic loss of our wonderful friend Amy and her baby Loon." Well, it was an absolute disaster. And it's just, you know, what can you say? Words kind of really say for the family must be feeling, and you know, the ones that's left behind. But tragic story with them. It, you know, they're putting some money towards a charity the family's choosing. That's about as much as they can do, I suppose. But terrible, terrible story. Now here's a Port Aberdeen. It bumps up funding for local charities. So it says Port Aberdeen is ramping up its support for charities and has pledged £100,000 for local initiatives in 2024. Aberdeen Football Club Community Trust, Aberdeen Foyer, C. Fine and the Dennis Law Legacy Trust are just some of the charities that will be supported by the firm. They'll receive £15,000 in 2024 and 25, while 9 community projects will share £25,000. A further £15,000 has been allocated to charity and community projects suggested by employees, as well as responding to ad hoc requests. Port Aberdeen has donated more than £800,000 to over 210 local initiatives over the past decade as it deepens its positive impact on the community and builds strong, lasting relationships with charities. CEO Bob Sanguinetti said, "As a thriving trust port in the city centre, we are ramping up our support for local organisations that provide vital services to our community." So the ones that get in is AFC Community Trust. It works with folk all ages and backgrounds to maximise the potential of communities to improve physical and mental well-being. Aberdeen Foyer help towards independent living. C-Fine, they aim to improve health and well-being in the environment, tackles poverty and builds resilience through a range of support and services. Dennis Law Legacy Trust, that's a kids charity that supports and empowers young folk to thrive through a range of free-to-access activities. Robert Gordon's University, they're getting something for the continuation of student-led physiotherapy exercise classes in Torrey. Big Noise Torrey, they're getting money for transport in primary school kids if I live or care for or attend school in the Torrey community to the after-school club at Grey Hope Community Hub. Aber Necessities, they're getting money to buy 50 clothing packs for kids of primary school age. Grey Hope Bay, they're getting for beach safety and litter picking and stuff. The Russell Anderson Foundation, this is a thing new, they're getting $2,500 for the purchase of kitchen equipment, food support and support for cooking courses for parents. Lochside Academy is getting some money for the provision of breakfast clubs. Charlie Hoose is getting for interactive family sound and play activities. And the Nether Lauriston Growers, they're getting money for the replacement of a gate and the purchase of materials to build raised beds for wheelchair users. And the Grampian Society for the Blind, for sensory toys, equipment and resources for the charity's young folks sensory service. So, crikey, there's a good lot of things on here. That's a, you know, a tremendous amount of money to have donated over the last 10 years. Must be, you know, fantastic help to being to our local charity. So well done to them. And, you know, I'm sure the charities are chuffed to bits, as they, well, they should be. Now here's a shinty captain uses defibrillator to save life of referee during a game. So a shinty captain used a defibrillator to save the life of a referee for took in a wheel during a McTavish Cup tie on Saturday. Caber Fae's first round tie with Kinloch Shiel at Castle Loud was abandoned when referee Stephen McLaughlin took knee wheel just 30 minutes into the game. A defibrillator at the Caber Fae Clubhouse, supplied in conjunction with charity Lucky to Be Here, was called for and put into use by Shield captain Conor Cormack for as an experienced firefighter. He was assisted by teammate Keith McRae, and the bath administered first aid until ambulance assistance arrived at the Castle Loud in Strathpeffer. Mr. McLaughlin was taken to hospital and is recovering well, with goodwill messages flooding in for shinty clubs throughout the country. Mr. Cormack said the incident highlighted how vital defibrillators can be, especially in more remote parts of the country. Yesterday he said, "I was quite close to Steve when it happened. It just happened off a quick, but it was clear it was a serious situation. A few folk made their way onto the park and were asking if there was a defibrillator available. By the time they managed to get it onto the pitch, he had stopped breathing and were ready to put the pads on him. A lot of folk were helping, having the defibrillator at the side of the pitch saved his life." So, well, tremendous. And there seems more and more of this thing has gone about, which is a good thing, you know, I would say, especially my dodgy ticker. And it's just making sure folk know how to use them. And, you know, I'm sure for this team's meet up again, if the same boy's refereeing, I think he might be a bit biased towards you know, the captain, the team's captain for saved his life, but maybe no. I have a sneaking suspicion, maybe I. No, yes, forklift joyrider leads the Bobbies on a 5 mile an hour chase, would you believe so? A drug-fueled forklift joyrider led police in a 5 mile an hour pursuit around Aberdeen Harbour. Daniel Smith, oh no, I hope it's not a relation of mine's, crawled under a barrier to enter the restricted site, jumped into a forklift and took off at a very slow speed. Worried staff contacted both Bobbies for turned up blue lights flashing and sirens blaring, and engaged in one of the most sedate police chases ever seen in the Granite City. This must be, maybe this is an April Fool, I'm not sure. Anyway, CCTV footage was played in court and it showed the officers creeping behind the forklift in their vehicle, seemingly unsure how they should bring the situation to a close. Fiscal Deputy Andrew McMahon told the Aberdeen Sheriff Court the incident happened about 3 on April 29th last year. Got a hell year. Come on, matey. And they said, if this boy was slow, justice is slow. He said a witness was working at the locus when he observed the accused approach the gatehouse and asked for permission to enter the restricted harbour area. At the time, Smith worked in the area and so was known to the gatehouse guard. However, the witness suspected Smith was intoxicated and so refused him entry. After being refused entry, he was observed to run towards the restricted area and crawl underneath the automatic barrier to enter the site. He was under the influence. He's heading for Torrey along Market Street and then likes to go to the harbour. The position is he gangs in, and for reasons he can't give me, with no rational explanation as to why he gets into the forklift, he's experienced in driving it and he's driving around the area. The Bobbies then get involved and there's this, I wouldn't say chase, because it's only about 5 mile an hour. So, I mean, the bobbies could have just walked ahead of him, really, and they need to be driving ahead of him. There's this process when he's driving the forklift and the bobbies are driving ahead of him. For love of God. This goes on for some time. He added that Smith didn't pay a sum close to the 810 valuation to the cocaine recovered. So obviously he'd had cocaine. Well, anyway, he's just now he's half embarrassed with the whole thing. So well, anyway, he was fined £1,425 for the taking of the forklift without permission and 4 penalty points in relation to not complying with a drug test. So what an absolute gape. And you know, same for the bobbies for driving ahead of forklifts at 5 mile an hour. Now here's a new cask coffee, a fine addition to culture of city centre. So this is a coffee, cigar and whiskey specialists cask. Is set to open a new continental-style cafe in Aberdeen's Bon Accord shopping centre. The Stirling Street Bar's second venue will open later this year and be a place to not only enjoy great coffee, with also quality alcohol and a light bite. It will also feature an outdoor terrace following the success of their Cigarden. A cask, which is an acronym for cigars, ale, scotch and coffee, launched in December 2013 and offers premium cigars, craft beer, scotch whisky and artisan coffee. All very dear things. The brand offers beers and whiskies for all over the world, with its bar roasting 28 varieties of beer, boasting 28 varieties of beer and more than 500 scotch and world whiskies. It is also a gold standard Havana cigar specialist, one of the largest selection of non-Cuban cigars in the country. I thought Havana was in Cuba. Anyway, the owners Bill and Paul West tell to P&J, it makes sense to open a cafe in one of the busiest parts of town. Aberdeen City Centre has so much potential to be great again, and thankfully we're beginning to see signs. Mere businesses are bringing staff back to the office, meaning we're seeing an increase in commuters through the centre, so it makes sense to open a cafe in one of the busiest bits. Cask will be a positive addition to the Bon Accord, which has a vacancy rate of nearly 27%. So a fair hallock of empty bits there. But well, I've never heard of this folk, but I'm not a big cigar smoker, I must admit, and not a great coffee hand, but not really for that real ales either. But the whiskies, and I can get on board with that now. And you know, good luck to them. That's certainly. It seems to be like a mere upmarket kind of thing, which is what the, you know, city centre could probably be dealing with. And if they're confident enough to open anything, they must think there's a, you know, there's a chance it'll survive. So maybe things are turning about, here's hoping. Now, just finish up with sport as normal. The back page paper today is McGrath likes the look of ugly win. So Jamie McGrath has warned Aberdeen they can't take their foot off the pedal in the fight to end the threat of relegation. The Republic of Ireland international netted the winner in the 2-1 victory against Ross County that eased fears of a battle against the drop. Aberdeen are now 6 points ahead of second bottom Ross County, who occupy the relegation playoff spot. Long may they bide there now, because you know, we'd certainly limit to see Aberdeen in that position. So well done for getting them a good thrashing on Saturday, and here's hoping they can gain a bit of a run now and get a few more points in the bag and get well off the relegation end of the table. So come on, Aberdeen. No, as we've done for today, now it's a wee puckly series of today's Press and Journal on the 1st of April 2024. So Easter Monday and April Fool's Day are rolled into one this year, so we're getting two for the price of one. And like I say, I hope I hope everybody had a good weekend, a rare Easter time, and you didn't get galled the day with some, you know, fanciful story that made you forget what the date was. But very, very mochy day after such a fine weekend. Yesterday was absolutely gorgeous up in the Aberdeens here, and even up at the Broch, we was up in the Broch, and it was near breath I went, and just a lovely day at our room. But today, much cooler day, and just have a faint drizzly kind of stuff. And you know, after supper time, it's got a hell of a lot colour. So, you know, we kind of get 2 fine days, that would be too much to ask for. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Do hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please mind and tell a pal about it, and get him to follow us on Spotify. Then they'll never miss an episode. If that's you know, if that's the kind of buddy that it gets excited about the Doric Express, and we need more folk like that. And if you can manage that to be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.